ready. Are we on?
We're on.
We're on. Okay. Rabosai, we're on. Simon Kuf Tzadi Ches. The Tzricha Shetitbol Kol Gufa B'Pam Achas. She has to tover the whole guf all at once. Okay, hopefully this should be obvious to everyone. Something that people often get confused about, not in this part of your day, in the other part of your day, they get confused between Hagalah and Tevilas Kelim. Hagalas Kelim, you can do Hagalah part of a Kli at a time, because you're just cleaning it out. You can clean half and then clean the other half. What if a Kli is too big to fit in your, a serving spoon is too big to fit in your pot, you put it in right side up, then you put it upside down, you get the whole thing. In Tevilas Kelim, it has to go in all at once, because tevila is not cleaning, it's a chalos, and it's all or nothing. Likewise, tevila woman, her whole body has to be in the mikvah at one time. She can't put half her body, then the other half. Okay, but the pam achas is not what's relevant. Now, the kol gufa, her whole body, the fika, sarah shlo yaleh shem davar chotzei, since her whole body has to go in the mikvah, that means the whole body has to not only be underwater, the whole body has to be touching the water, and therefore there can't be any chatzitza, afilu, kol shehu, etc. Okay, let's just review the basics of chatzitzas that it says in the Gemara and that we saw in the Beis Yosef. I'm going to make a chart. What am I going to write on the chart?
Makbid, rov,
mute, correct. I'm also going to tell Isaac, remind me to bring new markers because these are on their last legs. There are two different variables when it comes to chatzitza. There are actually three different variables we'll get to in a moment, but the two that are classically discussed when it comes to, well, the two of the actual chatzitza are rubo on most of her, or him. Chatzitza is what I meant also, when they have often need to toko, and miyuto. The chatzitza on most of your body, or on part of your body, the truth is it's exceedingly rare to have any shaylos of chatzitza most of your body. That would be a very weird scenario, but sometimes you can have. And they can be makvid or eno makvid. Makvid means something you don't want, or eno makvid, something you're upset about, that you're unhappy it's there, like, for example, mud. If you have mud on your body, you're unhappy that it's there. That's a classic example. Or whatever, lots of gross examples. And then there's eno makvid, something you're very happy that it's there. Like, what's an example of something that you are very happy that it's there? Like, for example, nail polish, right? A woman, meaning good nail polish, right? The fresh nail polish. A woman's very happy she has nail polish. She doesn't mind it at all. Or even if it's neutral, that's eno makvid. Sometimes there are things that are neutral. I don't know, I have, on the inside of my armpit, a tiny speck of dust. So like, I mean, if it was on the tip of my nose, and I was a girl or something, I might mind. But, like, no one's going to mind, so the things that you don't mind. Okay, so what's the din? We all know that rubo umakvid is what is chotzeitz midaraisa, meaning it's ma'akev v'tzimah, right? It is... Ma'akev ha'tvila, the tvila doesn't count, mida oraisa. And mida rabbanan, there were gozer on rubo ve'eno makvid atu rubo makvid, and on miyot umakvid atu rubo umakvid. And these zeros are b'diyed. That's why I'm writing ma'akev ha'tvila mida rabbanan. Right? Mida tvila doesn't count. Mida oraisa does, mida rabbanan doesn't. And this is, by the way, where most of the action is in halacha l'maisa. Miyadumakvid, we'll see, because rubo is pretty rare, but miyadumakvid you can have all the time. Yeah, a woman comes home from the mikvah and discovers, or you come home from the kelim mikvah, you discover a sticker on the bottom of your new glass dish. That's a miyot. It's only on 1% of it, but you're makvid. It's very annoying to have the sticker there. Or a woman comes home from the mikvah and discovers, caked mud on her leg. I mean, unlikely scenario, but whatever the case may be. And you come home from the mikveh, you discover a string of meat between your teeth. Right? If you're not careful. So that's your makvid. You're very upset that it's there. I don't mean it's the end of the world. I mean, you want to remove it. Makvid doesn't mean it's the end of the world. It just means you want to remove it. Like, if you see it there, you'll want to get rid of it. Okay. How about miyot ve'eno makvid? Miyot ve'eno makvid is not ma'akid the tefillah. Right? The tefillah is shera. Does that mean it's perfectly okay? So the Ramah says, the end of Sif Aleph, lechavchilo titpol, a field of she'eno chotzim, zero dvar machotzim. It's not clear this is in the Gemara. The Gemara never says anything about any Yisr lechavchilo. But the Ramah says, the minag in some of the Rishoni Ashkenaz, so this might not be a din, this might be a minag, but nonetheless, the minag is lechavchilo ein litpolbo. That is everything else. There's the Gemara. This is the Ramah. That it's still not lechatchila. Lechatchila, you should have no chatzitzos at all. However, b'di'eved, rubo makbid is pasul midaraisa. Rubo ve'ena makbid or miyot makbid are pasul midarabanan, which for our purpose is just that. And miyot ve'ena makbid is fine b'di'eved. B'di'eved or when you're stuck. Right? Shasat chag is also like b'di'eved. Okay, so these are the principles which will underlie. These are almost all the principles which will underlie this entire simon. There's one more principle, which we'll see in some days, but let's first point out that I will only point out, according to the mainstream opinion, that there's another issue which is going to come on Sif Beis, which is these are all the dinim of a chatzitza, meaning something that blocks the water. Okay. Sometimes there are chatzitzas that don't block the water. What do we call that in the lashon of our siman? If it doesn't block the water from getting in? Roughly, right? In chatzitza, the reason that on this chart is that if something's loose, like, let me give you an example. I go to the mikveh with a necklace, a regular necklace. Of course the water gets into the necklace. Like, it doesn't stop any water. It doesn't block the water. It just sort of floats and minds its own business, right? So, a chatzitza that's roughly is, again, I'm going to give the mainstream shita now, is obviously not a problem. Because it's not even chotzeitz in the first place. So that's what we'll see in Sif Bet. We'll say, before we get to here, we have to ask, is it mehudak, tight? Then we go to this chart. Or is it roughly? If it's roughly, then it's no problem whatsoever because it doesn't block the water from getting in. It doesn't block the water. What could possibly be the problem? Again, I'm telling you according to the mainstream position. Then it is for sure the tefillah is kshera legamrei. Is it totally lechatchila? The Ramah assumes that lechatchila we certainly don't, right? Again, for the Gemara, it might sound like it's fine lechatchila. Lechatchila, ein lechobo lechatchila. You shouldn't have any chatzitza whatsoever. It's pretty clear that from the Sefer Ramah is going on the two kinds of things when he says even something that's no problem is lechatchila should be avoided. One is if it's roughly, it's no problem, but lechatchila avoid it. Two, miyachena makvid. Okay, these are the ground rules. The devil's in the details.
Where's the Ramah coming from that you should be like this? Probably not
have
anything on it.
Where is he coming from? It's not 100% clear. It is probably a minhag of the Rishonim.
Which is why Ramusha is saying that if, like, was, when we talked about women going to
make those rules. No, so everyone agrees, b'shas al that it's okay. Just lechatchila, if it's not a shas al chak. Everyone agrees, b'shas al chak, it's okay. Okay, now let us start getting into the details. And here, the devil is in the details. The main, meaning this siman is full of details. The frustrating part of the siman, for those who like to think conceptually, is that there are probably 20 good se'ifim here of like, this is chotzeitz in this case, but in that case, it's not chotzeitz. The next thing is chotzeitz this way, but that way, it's not chotzeitz. And the Gemara never says why. Is that one is roughly, one is mehudak? Is that one is makvid, one is anal makvid? Is it et cetera, et cetera? And the Rishonim and Achronim have to sort of guess. So it is a little frustrating conceptually when we get to the details. But what we're going to do is, what everyone should do if they want to keep track of things conceptually, is they should keep for themselves various lists. One list is machlokos about the geder, the definition of makvid. Because probably the biggest issue in this siman is what's the definition of makvid. And I'll illustrate that with various issues. Starts right here in Sif Aleph. Right here in Sif Aleph. So, what does makvid mean? So first of all, vafilu kolshu, Im derech me adam lif amim lahakbid olav chotzeis. If people sometimes are makbid, it's chotzeis.
What does this Ramah Mechaber clearly assume?
What if right now she doesn't mind it, but sometimes she minds it,
then it is chotzeis. How do we know?
Meaning, this is where all the chumras come from. Right now, she's happy with exactly what she has on her body.
But sometimes she minds. Right? What would be an example of this? I mean, I'll just give a trivial example. She has a Band-Aid on her nose. And right now, she's very happy to have the Band-Aid on her nose. But when she goes out later, she would be very embarrassed to have a Band-Aid on her nose, and she would be very upset about it. Right? So something you're makbid on later is a problem. How do we know something you're makbid on later is a problem? You have to say something you're makbid on later is a problem. Why? The writer brings a classic proof because the Tosefta says that a tabas is chotzeitz. A ring is chotzeitz. Oh, the kasha is, why would anyone mind a ring? People pay a lot of money to buy rings. Rings aren't something you mind. They're not dirt. So why is a ring chotzeitz? So the Ravid says, why is a ring chotzeitz? Because, anyone know?
Well, we haven't got it.
Because makbid alisha, because you're makbid that you have to take your ring off when you need the dough.
Okay, maybe no one in this room either wears a ring or needs dough, so it's hard for us to relate.
But I checked with some women who need dough, and they're like,
yeah, except for like one, because whatever, there's always someone who does things off the beaten path.
They'll say, of course you have to remove your ring when you need dough. And needing dough was a big part of women's life back in the day.
So, therefore, right now I'm very happy to have my wedding band on. Of course I want the ring. I love rings. They're jewelry. They look nice. They make me happy.
But I have to take them off from Lisha for kneading dough. And therefore, that's called makbid. And it's really hard to find any way out of that proof. So therefore, it's accepted by the Achronim, by the Rishonim and Achronim. Something you're makbid on later, even if you're not makbid right now, it's called makbid, which is why all the shilas are so difficult. Why are all the shilas so thin? Why are so many shilas? Because there are a lot of things I'm makbid on later. Just like classic example, we're not going to paskin it yet. What if a woman has stitches? I'm not paskin it yet. Right now, of course she's not makbid on the stitches. She needs the stitches. But the doctor said in 3 days they come, 7 days they come off. In 7 days she's very makbid to get rid of the stitches. It's probably unhealthy to leave them in. It's certainly unsightly, etc. So all of these things come up. Halacha le, by the way, agav, halacha le, when it comes to rings, we'll get to rings later, and I won't repeat this then, but one of the biggest issues nowadays is not wearing a ring to the mikvah, meaning that's like, you know, the you can take the ring off to go to the mikvah. That's not a big deal. You can do a lot of preparation for mikvah. Taking off your rings to do nesilas yadayim, a lot of women are afraid of losing their rings, right? You should know, this has nothing to do with hilchos nida. But how do we know that feminists are illogical? Because they demand every right for women except for the most important one, which is pockets. Right? If I was a feminist, the first thing I would demand was pockets. After you have pockets, then you can demand aliyahs and everything else. And okay, maybe there is something to what there, maybe not. But I don't understand how you can demand any equal rights for women without first demanding pockets. Without pockets, you can't have a wallet, you can't put your ring someplace until you die in. So someday, when they appoint me in charge of feminism, and I put the first thing on my list of demands, I'm not telling you whether or not there'll be rabbis in the end. You'll have to wait and see. But when they first thing, there's going to be pockets, and then there won't be any problem. But a woman will take off a ring, put it in her pocket. But right now, our society oppresses women. It doesn't give them pockets, so they can't have independence, and they can't have resources, and it's, again, when they put me in charge, it's the first feminist initiative I'm going to do, give everyone pockets, regardless of, you know, race, gender, etc., etc. Everyone gets pockets. But meanwhile, women are still oppressed and don't have pockets. So what do they do with their rings when they wash the tefillah sedayim? So some women are like very confident and like, I'll put it down, I'll wash, I'll put it back on, fine. Some women live in fear. Their whole life they live in fear of losing their rings when they take them off for tefillah sedayim. So what do you do if you're afraid of losing your rings when you take them off for tefillah sedayim? It's a big problem. So lemaisa, It depends. If nowadays most women don't need dough. Most women buy from the bakery. And even those who don't buy from the bakery, they use them a KitchenAid, a mixer. Right? They don't need dough by hand. You don't need to take your ring off if you're not kneading by hand, right? Because no cook's been using a machine. So therefore, lemaisa, if a woman doesn't need dough, she never takes off her ring. She never takes off her ring, then she can tell us, she can do until she's dying with the ring. It's not a chatzitza. L'chachila, you shouldn't have anything even if it's not a chatzitza. As a matter of fact, in Furish and Orachayim, you have to take off your rings for washing. Okay, but if you're afraid of losing them, they're worth a lot of money, then that's shasad chak. So l'maisa, if a woman's afraid of losing her rings, not, meaning l'chachila, we shouldn't have any chatzitza. A woman shouldn't show off her halachic knowledge by washing with her ring, because that's only b'di'evet, not l'chachila. But if someone's afraid of losing her ring, then that's like b'di'evet. They're afraid of losing, I don't even know how much diamond rings cost nowadays. Even if they're not diamond rings, they cost a lot of money. And therefore, l'maisa, if a woman's afraid of losing her rings, and she never takes them off, because she doesn't need dough, with by hand, which the vast majority of women don't, then she can wash with her rings. However, she should use at least the revius just to avoid tamadara issues we won't go into now.
This might still apply in the kneading case, but the Mechaber seems to make it the standard objective, right? You've done it.
So let me get back to that in a moment. Okay, so yes.
Is your ring so tight that the water can't go under
through it? It's unclear, but probably. Lemaisa, probably yes. Probably, like, if you ask your wife, just wash your hands not for until she's dying with the ring. She takes the ring off, it'll probably be dry underneath. Although it all depends. I mean, every ring is different.
I mean, why would that be the issue? That her entire body's not.
Because even if it's mahodak, if it's miyavin or makved, it's still okay to be of it. And even though it's not l'chachila, if it's a shas and chak of a hefzid merubah, then it's like the diavet.
What if she had earrings, like stud, that she never took out?
What?
She like stud, like earrings, like she would never take out. She would
have what about earrings that she could never take out? Then that would be a miyat she'en amakvid. Meaning, do you ever have to take out earrings? I don't think you ever have to take out earrings. Meaning, you might sometimes want to switch.
Some people amakvid like if they sleep.
I think most people never have to take out earrings. I mean, you might want to put in different earrings sometimes for variety, right? So lemaisa, let's say, is a regular, normal woman. So she should take out her earrings. So l'chachila don't have any chatzitzas. Let's say she can't take out her earrings for whatever reason. It's hard to take out her earrings for whatever reason. Then lemaisa, you know what? Then we'll get to it later. Because it's going to be complicated. Okay, hold that thought, because it is a sif, and is a pesrich, long pesrich tshuva. So, all right, let's get back to where we were. First issue, what if you're makbid on it later? So, says the pesrich tshuva, sif katan aleph, ayin b'shot zichron yosef chelik yordeya, be'in adav shem kedas le'itim zumanos, not pam'achzan meruba. It's only a problem if you're makbid on it often, not if you're makbid on it a million years. Right? This is one of the big issues, which is how makbid, when makbid, etc. There's a Rav Moshe Feinstein in Chelek Aleph of the Rav Moshe Siman Sadi Zayin, who clears a chakira, it's not his chakira, it's a big chakira in the Achronim, about why a miyat she'eino makbid is not chotzitz. Right? So here is the chakira mentioned by Rav Moshe, in Rav Moshe, Chelek Aleph, Siman Sadi Zayin, obviously Yerudea. Miyot the Eino Makvid Eino Chotzitz. He asked why. Is it because Toel the Eino, no, let's make her woman now, Makpedis, Batel Gufa, since she's not Makvid, it's part of her guf. It becomes part of her guf. Something you want on your guf is part of your guf. And obviously, part of her guf is not Chotzitz, right? No one's going to say, like, your finger is Chotzitz, the order didn't touch your hand. It's all part of your guf. No one can say your hair is not chotzeis, that the water doesn't touch your head. No, like where the hair comes out, it's part of your guf. Or do we say no? This is just a halacha l'moshe misinai dirak chatzitza shemakpida alav is chotzetzes. Okay, so is it just, is it that if she's not makbid, it's part of her guf? Or is that, a silly example, right? I don't know if they do this nowadays. Let's say someone, their finger got cut off, so they sewed on a different finger. So that's part of his guf. It's not chotzetzes, it's part of you. Let's say you grow a wart. That's not chotzetzes, it's part of you. So, whatever you're not makbid is part of you. Or is it no? It's not that it's part of you. Just halacha mishnah resina, there's a certain shear, I don't mean shear of quantity, qualitative shear of a chatzitza that's chashuv enough to be makbid, and it's only makbid if you're makbid on it.
How can we say that it's halacha mishnah resina if you derase the makbid but miyut is still okay?
Ah, so really what he means is that the halacha mishnah resina is about rove, and nidra rabbana we apply to makbid. So, let's say this. Eino makbid. If eino makbid, eino chutzit. Right? In the raisa, that's true of rov. In your bottom, that's true of miyot. Why? Why does makbid make a difference? Because both of gufa, or because it's just a din of chatzitza. So Rav Moshe says, the difference is, he thinks the nafkamina is, in this hakira of Rav Moshe, he said, what's a nafkamina? The nafkamina is, what if you are... what if you are only makbid later, not now? What if you're not makbid now, but you're only makbid later? That is the Zichron Yosef's question. So he says, if it's a matter of batal gufa, it's only batal gufa if you're never makbid. Like in general, bittel and dina tumah v'tahara, you have to leave things forever, or at least for a very, very long time. So then Rav Moshe says, then we should say that it's chotzeitz, because it's not bata legufa forever. But if you say it's a shear of chatzitza, for chatzitza to be halachically significant, it has to be makbid, then you could say, no, that's not chotzeitz, because... Now, it has no, let's say, chashivos of makbid, right? Now, it doesn't have the chashivos of makbid. So he says, basically, this Zichron Yosef, he thinks, is telling him this chakira, and he clears the chakira, he analyzes it in lambdas, and he comes out saying, like, this is the Igros Moshe, Paskins, like, the Zichron Yosef. And he says, interestingly enough, he says, okay, how do you define now, how do you define later? And he says, an interesting shot in Zichron Yosef, this could be a big issue. What's called now, what's called later? What's called itim zumanos, and what's called lizman meruba? Rav Moshe, there are many shitas. Rav Moshe's shita is, based on this lambdas, it's not a matter of how long. That doesn't mean, are you makbid in one day, or are you makbid in 30 days, or in 100 days? He means... are you makbid in part of regular life, like something that happens all the time? Like, I'm makbid whenever I need bread. I could need bread all the time, so like, I'm already makbid. I'm already makbid because I might need bread all the time. Or let's say there are things you take off. There are things you take off when you shower, right? For example, sometimes people have my socks. I take them off when I shower. My shoes, I take them off when I go to sleep. Right? Whatever other weird cases you might take off for certain purposes. I have I'm really not good at these at these examples. If there are things you take off as part of regular life all the time, like without a time kavua, just like whenever you do a certain activity, which could be any time, that's where Moshe says, that's called being makbid now. I'm makbid now if I would want to need dough. I'm makbid now if I want to shower. I'm makbid now if I want to go to sleep. If there's things you're not makbid on till later, no matter what I do, I'm not makbid till later, then Moshe says, that is what the Zichron Yosef is makel about. Okay, we'll come back to this.
Does it matter where it is? Meaning I wouldn't want a band-aid on my nose, but it's on my shoulder. I wouldn't care.
It could very well matter where it is, correct. It might matter where it is. Absolutely. We'll see that a little later. Okay, so this is Rav Moshe. It's an important chakir about Makbid, and he basically says that we see from the, he paskins like the Zichron Yosef, and he doesn't have to, he's allowed to argue the Zichron Yosef, but he decides that's the right side of the chakira. It's not that you need to be vatal to your guf forever. No, it's just that it's only chotzeis, but something you're makbid on now. And what is the definition of now? The definition of now is things that happen all the time. That's called now. So, okay, and we will come back to this. Yes?
Rabbi's example of the stitches, how does that fit into this?
According to this, Rav Moshe, okay, I have to figure out how to get it to work out with all the Rav Moshes. Let me just make sure I'm going to get it to work out with the Rav Moshes before I say it. Okay. We'll pick up that. Okay. So one issue is, when are you makbid? Clearly being makbid later is a problem. That's the first in the Shulchan Aruch. But is any time in your life being makbid a problem? No. The Zichron Yosef distinguishes between all the time and only once in a long time. And you have to figure out what the getter of that is, or Moshe says the getter is things you could do all the time versus things you can't do all the time. Like his example was, if you're makbid, whenever you have a baby, you have to take off a certain thing, then that doesn't count as makbid. Because, like, you know, you're not having a baby for the next 9 months. If whenever you need dough, you have to take something off, that counts as makbid, because you could need dough anytime. Okay, the other thing that Isaac mentioned, or someone mentioned before, is who's makbid? So, Vafilu Kalshu, in Derech Bnei Adam, this is a machlokes rishonim. The Torah and the Rashba say it goes by most women. Most women, it doesn't go by you, it goes by most women. Right? It's not individual, it's objective. Are most women makbid on rings or not? The Rambam sounds like he only discusses whether you're makbid or not. Says the Mechaber, in Vafilu Kalshu, in Derech Bnei Adam, Lefam and Lehakbidol of Chotzeitz, Afilu Me'enim HaKedisol of Ata, or Afilu Me'enim HaKedisol of the Olam. Kevan Shederech Rov Bnei Adam Lehakbidol of Chotzeitz. If she's not makbid now, even if she's not makbid ever, but if most people are makbid, then it is chotzeitz. The Shach and the Taz point out, and the Taz is even bedike this in other mechabers, so it doesn't sound like from here, but the Taz in Sifkat and Gimel and the Shach in Sifkat and Bey say we're actually makbid both ways. If most people are makbid, it's chotzeitz, even if you're not. And if you're makbid, it's chotzeitz, even though most people aren't. Which is why, going back to the rings, you could really only be makel if most people don't need dough, and this woman doesn't need dough. But if either most women take it on, I mean, most women don't nowadays. I know, most women don't need dough by hand. But if either most women are makbid or she's makbid, then that is a problem. So when it comes to makbid, issue A is who? The answer is the Rashba and the Torah say Rov Nashim. There'll be more details later. The Rambam, even though he has Masupik, he says Isha Zos. And what's Arpsak? The Machaber, at least here, only quotes Rov Nashim. But the Shach and the Taz say Machmir both ways. That's the Shach and the Taz. And that's how we paskin, that we're machmir both ways. So if most people are machmir, it's a problem. And even if most people are machmir, if she's machmir, it is also a problem.
Talking about most people in the world, or most people in the world.
So later on we'll see, it means most people in your place and profession. It doesn't mean the whole world. It can even depend on profession. And then most people of your type. How to define type, you can imagine, the devil's in the detail in Ein L'Davar Sof, but definitely they say profession. So, for example, if, let's say, most women are makbid, but you are an artist, and you're not makbid, and most artists aren't makbid, then that's okay. So we go by most people of your profession, and the whore of your country, etc. Obviously, eventually, we don't know where to draw the line. Like, you can always ask questions and not know where to draw. Eventually, you get someplace and don't know where to draw the line, but we don't go by the world, we go by your class of people, which I admit is sometimes going to be a judgment call. Okay, continuing with Yimuchuf, Rabba Kuf, Yilun Derech, Yilun Lahakvika, Chotzeitz, that we already said. Okay, says the Ramah, which we already mentioned. L'chachilo lo titbol, afilu dvarim she'enu chotzim, zera at dvarim ha'chotzim. Okay, so now we got already two of the big, all the basic ground rules, makbid, eno makbid, rov versus miyot, and the question of who's makbid, which is the machar shach and tasir, and the question of when you're makbid, we see hakpada later is a problem. Hakpada later is a problem, but says the Zichron Yosef, that's only if it's hakpada that happens soon all the time and a regular thing. Not if it's akpada that happens very rarely. Rav Moshe was told of this on the Chakira, if it's a matter of bittul, that any time your makbid should be a problem. He says, no, it's a shear in the chashivas or the chatzitza, therefore it's only a problem if you're makbid now. However, something that happens all the time counts as now. That's how he explains the Zichron Yosef. Base, sif base. The elod varm shechotzim. These are things that are chotzitz. And this is really coming from a Mishnah Masechet Shabbos. Why? Because, if you remember, I'll teach you a history lesson. Once upon a time, there was an Isser called Hotzah. It's one of the 39 Elvis Malacha. And you weren't allowed to carry outside on Shabbos. It's important to still remember that, because there are still places where you can't carry outside on Shabbos. And if you're a risker, that's every place. Or a Sephardi who is stark about your Masorah. The Mishnah says, as all the whole Mishnah, Perkei Ma'aseh and Shabbos, all things which you can't wear on Shabbos lest you carry them. And what are the gzeiros? Because you might have to take them off and then carry them. Why would you have to take them off? You'd have to take them off the tovel. Why would you take them off the tovel? Because they're a chatzitza. So agav, they get into the halacha of chatzitza there, because whatever's a chatzitza, when you go to the mikvah, you'll take off and then you might carry. Whatever's not a chatzitza, you can wear it to the mikvah and then you won't carry. So what are they? Mechalik here. Chutei tzemer v'chutei pishtan u'tzua shakor v'maseir v'rosh lo tipo v'anachim t'rapping. They're distinguishing here between things that are tight and things that are not tight. Things that are tight are chotzeitz. That's mahada. Things that are not tight are not chotzeitz. That's raphoid. So, strings, they would decorate the hair with strings in those days of wool, linen, or ritzuos means leather, that you wrap around your hair. You have to loosen them before you tovel because they're normally tight, and therefore they're chotzeitz unless you loosen them. So if they're woven into the braid, then even loosening them doesn't help because they will still be tight. Meaning, you can't really loosen them if they're inside the braid. You can pull them so they'll loosen a little, but they'll still be tight in many places in the braid. What if you have strings or leather straps wrapped around other parts of your body? Then likewise, they're tight. Meaning, these are all things that, when you wrap them around your hair or body, are tight. So you have to loosen them. Chutz, except for the one exception is if you have a necklace of tzemer or pishtan or ritzuos, which means or, around your neck, then you don't have to loosen them because it's already loose because it's around your neck. If it was tight, you would feel like you were choking. So obviously, it's already loose. Except for ketula. Ketula literally means killing. It's a choker necklace, right? They still have choker necklaces nowadays. What does that mean? A necklace that chokes you. Which is a strap of leather that is very wide. If it was too narrow, you would actually die. But it's very wide and smooth. Okay, all the details are not significant. It's the principle that's significant. But in the old days, there was a minhag. They would have this wide strap of leather and wear it as a necklace and choke themselves a little. And they wouldn't really be harmed because it was very wide and smooth. And why would they do this? Because they would press out the flesh under and above it and make themselves look fatter and thereby more attractive. In any case, the principle is clear. If something is tight, then it's chotzeitz unless you loosen it. If something is loose, then it's not chotzeitz. That's pretty straightforward. Although, it's clear in the Dark Moshe that the Ramah in the previous Se'if applies here. Meaning, even though the Machaber said if it's loose, there's no problem, the Ramah said, our minhag is, even though the Ramah was writing on Sif Aleph, not Sif Beis, then the Dark Moshe and the Achronim, it's clear it also applies to Sif Beis, that lechachila, you shouldn't have anything whatsoever.
Even though from the Chaber it sounds like Lechachil, it's fine, but we pass in Lechachil, you shouldn't have anything whatsoever. Okay, continuing. Gibel. Imachutum enu chalulun asuim maisa reshes enum chosin. Okay, the Gemara says, tichi chalilta, some sort of, well, not clear, it's a big machlokas what it means. Then, they're always loose. So, they're not chotzei. So what is this case of ticha lotha that's always loose? Most Rishonim say if it's woven strings. Strings that are woven into something and then wrapped around your hair can never be so tight. But we're makor like the Ravid, who says woven, like basically, you know, a woven, you know, you weave a bunch of strings into like a strap, right? And you wrap around your hair, that can't be tight because it's woven. The Ravid is machmir. So what is this heter of tichei chalilta? Tichei chalilta, which we say are always loose. Most Rishonim say woven, and the Ravid is machmir. The Ravid says no, not Orig. Woven can be tight, only chalul. If it's here, it would be very easy for me to describe by better vocabulary. You can weave like a tube of, you weave like a tube kind of thing, like, and it has like it's hollow on the inside. You weave some hollow woven thing, and then it's very decorative, and you wrap it around. That's for sure loose. Okay, and that's what he says here, chalulin maisa reshet, meaning it's not even woven, it's more like, what's reshet? Like a net, right? Some sort of loose net, chalul, it's, maybe not a tube, but it has holes in it, right? It's a netting and not a woven strap. A netting, that's a good one, netting. Right? Call it a reshet. And that's chalilta, chalul. Nets have holes in them. A net, that's very loose. Okay. And we pass on like the Ravid, to be machmir, that it's orig, it might be tight, but a netting is loose. Dalit. Chute seyar einam chotzen. However, one of the interesting, I don't think we do this anymore nowadays, one of the ways they decorate their hair in the old days is they would take hairs, meaning not the hairs that are growing on their head. Maybe hairs of someone else or hairs that fell out of their head previously. You know, they'd buy hairs someplace and they would tie hairs around their hair as a decoration of some sort. And those hair is, why is it not as tight? Okay, here I need better fashion vocabulary and better physics vocabulary. But you know how like a string, you know why it gets very tight? Because it's like a little soft. So like when you wrap it around something, it like melds like onto it. Like this string, if I wrap it around something, it'll like get squished into it and be very tight. Hair is very tough. When I wrap it around something, it won't be so tight. I mean, you could go home, grow long hair, and I'll just give you an assignment. Take strings and like weave them in a very poshet braid or something. It'll stay for like, I don't know, 3 days. Take hair, long hair, and weave it into like a very poshet, like two-part braid. It'll fall apart in about 30 seconds. Tie, you know, a bunch of hairs to a bunch of hairs in a knot. It'll fall apart in about 30 seconds. If you tie a bunch of strings to a bunch of strings in a knot, it will catch because it has more friction or something, whatever it is. Okay, assume that if I have good physics vocabulary, I would explain it to you, but it's a fact. Hair is just not as sticky onto something. It doesn't get tight. And therefore, if you wrap hair around your hair, then it is not chotzeitz. That's mefurish in the Gemara. And here is the interesting Ramah. The Gemara says, if it's mitanfi, it's a problem. The Gemara says, mitanfi is a problem on Shabbos. Mitanfi. Mitanfi is from the root word tinof, which means dirt. But there are two ways to translate mitanfi. Mitanfi means it is dirty. The strings are dirty. And by the way, this Ramah is not only going on Sif Dalid. This Ramah is going on Sif Beis Gimel and Dalid. Basically, it's going on everything we've been discussing until now. All the things are not Chotzeitz. If they're Mitanfe, they are... Well, sorry. If they're Mitanfe,
they are usher on Shabbos. Meaning she can't walk outside with them on Shabbos. Okay, what does it mean, tanfi? So one is that they are dirty. The other is they could get dirty. What does it mean they could get dirty? Everything could get dirty. No, meaning it would be bad for them to get dirty. Most things, they get dirty as part of life. But some things are delicate and are not allowed to get dirty. And here there are two pshatim in the Rishonim as to what mitanfi means. Does mitanfi mean they are dirty? Or does mitanfi mean they could get dirty? So what are the two pshatim? So first of all, just what does it mean? The physical description is a machlokes. Does it mean mitunafim, they are dirty, or does it mean mushavim? They are gold. They are gold-plated. Why? Why are gold-plated be called mitanfi? I mean, you're afraid of it getting dirty because it'll get ruined. You don't want to ruin your gold thing. So, we paskin, we are mafmir in both. Right? That's what the Rambam just said. If it's gold, I love that good gold. If it's fancy and delicate and you're afraid of it getting dirty, as opposed to a stem string in your hair, right? If it's fancy and you're afraid of it getting dirty, or if it is dirty, either way you're machmir. Why are you machmir? For two different reasons. If it's fancy, you're afraid of it getting dirty, then you're machmir. Now, here, don't make a mistake. What mistake do? We'll see that. There might be basis for this, but according to the simple logic, if I have to take it off to go to mikveh for halachic purposes, that doesn't mean I'm machmir, because then it would be circular logic. I have to take it off to go to mikveh because I'm machmir, and I'm machmir, so I have to take it off to go to the mikveh. That can't work. But if I'm machmir to take it off for a different regular activity, then I have to take it off for mikveh. Bathing for kelaminus, like stam bathing, is a different activity. Whatever I take off to bathe is called machmir, because I bathe all the time, right? Hopefully. And therefore, like, for example, I have to take my socks off to bathe, so socks are considered machmir, right? Etc. The...
It's funny, because it's considered the same activity when you talk about doing it on Shabbos.
I know, but... Meaning, even if there were no hilchas nida, I would still have to take off my socks to bathe. So socks are something I'm machmir on. Therefore, these strings, if they're dirty, I'm machmir to take them out before I bathe. Because when I bathe, all the mud, all the dirt will come off the decoration and go into my hair. And if they're gold, I'm also machmir to take it before I bathe so that they won't get dirty in the bath. Remember, the baths weren't always so clean and they could easily get damaged. So therefore, these are all things I'm machmir on for when I bathe. Since I'm machmir when I bathe, therefore, I have to take them off for mikvah. Another example would be, I know sometimes people have like things, like what would an example be? Sometimes people have things that, great example. Let's say I have a, I have a watch. I never take off my watch, except to bathe, because I don't want to get damaged by the water. So then it's called davar makid. So whenever I bathe, I'm makid to remove it, just like I'm makid to remove my watch, my ring, when I need dough by hand. Okay, so we're machmir that both are called machmir. However, here is where it gets crazy. Teinach, I'm machmir on them. Wonderful, I'm machmir. I'm machmir to remove them. But who cares that I'm machmir to remove them? Meaning, they're loose. Chutei Seor are loose. And in Gimel, the Shach is very explicit. This is going back and says Gimel and Dalid. And probably the parts of Beis that are much also. What about the fact that it's roughly? Meaning, who cares that I'm machmir on the gold ones, that I'm machmir on the dirty ones to remove them every time I wash my hair? They're roughly, so they're not chutzei. So this is the big question that Rashi deals with. Why are they machmir? No. Why are they chutzei? Basically, here's the question. Even if I'm machmir, which is what the Rama says, why is it chotzeitz if it's roughly? That's the big question. And I'm machmir. But it's rafoi, it shouldn't be chotzeitz.
And here we have a fundamental machlokes quoted by Rashi. Rashi quotes machlokes in himself and his rebbeim.
Rashi himself says,
of course it's not chotzeitz, it's rafoi. The Gemara never said it was chotzeitz. The Gemara says
it's usher to wear in Shabbos. Why is it usher to wear in Shabbos? Because you might want to take a bath. Right? Remember we mentioned the other day that in the days of the Gemara you were allowed to bathe in cold water on Shabbos? She might want to take a bath, and she'd take them off to take a bath. But it's not my... So Rashi himself
says, no, ain't no chotzeitz. It doesn't belong in Hilchas Nida.
This line does not belong in Hilchas Nida. This is not chotzeitz.
Why did the Gemara mention them? It's just Aser and Shabbos, ain't no chotzeitz. Rak Aser, Lotzeis Bo, Bishabbos.
Why is it Aser to go to walk out with it on Shabbos? Not because it's chotzeitz, but because if she decides to bathe, she'll take it out of her hair and then she might carry it. But it's not chotzeitz. Meaning the previous line of the Gemara is discussing chatzitzas. This line of the Gemara is just discussing Hilchos Shabbos. Okay, so Rashi says it's not chotzeitz. Who on this page seems to agree with Rashi? The Mechaber. The Mechaber didn't quote this line from the Gemara. Why didn't the Mechaber quote this line from the Gemara? Because he assumed it's not a line about Hilchos Nida, it's a line about Hilchos Shabbos, and we're not in Or Chaim Hilchos Shabbos now. Right? So Pashup Shat is, this is the Shtikas HaMechaber. Why did the Mechaber not bring down this Isser of golden and dirty strings and nets and things like that? Because that was only a chomer in Hilchos Shabbos. Don't wear it outside on Shabbos, because when you bathe, you'll take it off, and then you might carry it. But it had nothing to do with Hilchos Mikvah. But the Ramah is machmir like Rashi's Rebbeim, and he's the only one. What did Rashi's Rebbeim say? Rashi rejects his Rebbeim. Okay, but Rashi's Rebbeim were also telling the Chachamim, to say the least. Raboshav, so Rashi says, no, it's chotzeitz, hoel, oh, makpedis aleihem. It's chotzeitz because she's makped. And this is the psak of the Ramah. But of course, he hasn't answered the question yet. Why is it chotzeitz if it's rafoi? And, here is a big mystery. Meaning, the Beis Yosef asks, but why? Right? We haven't answered our question yet. Right? Fine, we're Ashkenazim, we hold like the Ramah. But why is it chotzeitz? So the Beis Yosef has two opinions. One opinion is a very radical chumrah. There were gozer medina, now it's a minhag. They were gozer even on a dover roughly, if you're makfit on it. That's a big chumrah. That's a big chumrah. They were gozer on roughly. Again, it's against what I said here. Right? Put a little asterisk. One explanation, which the Beis Yosef suggests, is gozru midrabanan al Davar Rafoi in Makhida Alav. Okay, then that's a big chumrah. All of a sudden, that means all these Dvarim Rafuyim, which we thought were only a matter of minhag, it's better not to, but it's really fine. Maybe you're not fine. Maybe you're really Pasal Lagamri, maybe you're Rabbanan. Second answer Beis Yosef gives is, think about this logically, hold on a second. Let's say hair is very smooth, it's not chotzeit, but if it's muddy, then it's not so smooth anymore. Then it will stick very well. Right? Mud makes things tighter. It's like sealant. Right? Gold, if you gold plate it, then that will make it tighter. It'll make it more, less smooth. Right? So, says Beis Yosef, a different shot. He says, no, it's not chas v'shalom that roughly is chotzeitz midrabanan. No, it's just been sinus. Chut muzhav o mitunath or tichei chalilta Nasa mehudak velo roughly.
Yeah. There are two effects to the gold. Number one, it makes you makpana. Number two, it makes it stick harder. Two effects to the mud, to the dirt. It makes you makpana, it also makes it stick harder. So then it's not a chiddush. It's a chiddush in metzias that, if you take these hair decorations and they're golden or dirty, they're chotzeitz. But it's not a chiddush in svara, yeah, because now they're mehudak. Now they stick tight. Now they prevent the water from coming through, which is definitely true. If you took a very smooth thing and put it on you, it would let the water in. But if you took a smooth thing and put mud on it and stuck it on you, it wouldn't let the water in. The mud would be a seal. If you took a smooth thing and put gold on it and stuck it on you, the gold would make it stick more. The gold is probably uneven or malleable or something, and then it would prevent the water from coming through. So then it's not a big chiddush, right? The Piskei Tshuva deals with this in the very long Piskei Tshuva about Daled, and it's going to come up again later in the long discussion in the Piskei Tshuva, Sif Katan Yud Gimel. It's going to come up in Yud Gimel as well. here he has a long discussion from the Levushei Srad, followed by a discussion from the Sivrei Tara. And he gives a few pshat. Remember, the Levushei Srad says that a different pshat. He says, Rabosav Sarashi didn't really mean that it's chotzeitz. They really meant a different drasha, a different svara. They really meant, not that it's chotzeitz, but it's a gzera that you might not total properly. Why? Because if you're afraid of something getting ruined or dirty, what might you do? So imagine the woman's wearing her watch, which she's not quite sure how waterproof it is. So forget about chatzitza. What other problem might happen? Well, what if you had to tovel in a watch and you were a little worried about it? What would you do? You would dip. No, lo lagzim. You would dip it in and out really quickly, right? Before it got too much water. And if you dip it in and out really quickly, then it's exera. You might not put your whole body under the water. That's a Levushei Srad. That's what Levushei Srad concludes. First he says, maybe something that's roughly really is chotzeitz. Maybe something roughly is chotzeitz. Possible something roughly is. We just said that these chutin aren't chotzeitz. Okay, maybe there's a different reason. But then he says in the end, no. Where's the line I want? Give me a second. Venerally Iker Kadrisha Vakrisha, who says, one second, I apologize. Let me find the line. Yeah. So here we have another possibility in the Rabos of Shorashi, says the Levushei Srad. Eino chotzeitz aval aser lipo bahem mishong zera Shema lo tipol Tov? Hey, Tave? Maybe she won't tovel properly. Mirtaza, what he calls Mirtaza. She's afraid to tovel properly. Okay, but the simple pshat in Rabos of Shalrashi, the Rabos of Rashi holds a chatzitza, that is clearly the Ramah. He says, chotzitzin. This is clearly the Ramah. The question is, which pshat is Iker in the Ramah? The question is, do we hold like the Ramah? Do we hold like the Machaber? That it's not a Hilchos Nida issue at all? Do we hold like the Levushei Srad? It's a Hilchos Nida issue, but not because of Chatzitza? Or do we hold like the Ramah? That it's because of Chatzitza, right? And if it's because of Chatzitza, which reason? So this is a big nafkamina. In general, in roughly things,
lots in general and roughly things, are they chotzeitz or are they not chotzeitz? Right? Here is the, we said that tefillas kshera, and it's not the min exactum l'chachila, l'mais l'b'shei sora, also agrees with this. But this is, l'fi Rashi equals mechaber, l'fi rabosot shal Rashi, l'peirush halavushe srad, and l'fi rabosot shal Rashi equals Ramah l'fi Peirush 2. According to Peirush 2, something roughly is not chotzeitz. It's just that dirty or golden straps are mehuduk. But l'fi Rabosav shal Rashi, which is the Ramah l'fi Peirush 1, Chotzeitz, midrabanan, ve umaakev hatvila. Okay, now we have a big problem. There is one sheet out there. If you say like the Ramal, for your bushel rasi, it's a chatzitza, and you say it's not a chatzitza because now it sticks hard. It's a chatzitza, even though it's roughly there, it goes there, then all of a sudden, roughly passes your tefila. The problem is all over this simon, we are makel and roughly. And the Ramah never opens his mouth to disagree. Meaning, there are many things where it doesn't say explicitly. Just for example, in Sifkot Gimel, Hashirim v'nizam v'tabal sakulos im heim refuyim enum chotzitzim. Okay. We just said right there that roughly is no problem. There are many other things where it doesn't say that word. And it's clear that the reason is because roughly is no problem. The simple shot is that roughly is no problem, and that either we don't pass like the Ramah, or we'll pass like the Ramah, but according to the second Peirush, that's Mahudak, not that roughly is a problem. Halach L'maisi quotes here from the Sidri Tara. He says that, well, maybe there's someone to be machmir. If something she's machmir that she doesn't want right now, he's only machmir if something she doesn't want right now, and there's no other tzad l'hachmir in the world, which is pretty rare, then maybe ishmakum l'hachmir, l'maisa in all like cases that that one could possibly imagine. We are makel on this. L'maisa, we're makel. We'll see that later as well. L'maisa. Eino me'akev ha'tfila. L'maisa, we're not choshesh for the most mechudish chomer pshat in Rabosav Shal Rashi. Okay, either Rabosav Shal Rashi are wrong, or we're Ashkenazim, Yotzim B'Yad Ramah, we follow the Rabosav Shal Rashi, but we'll assume the Rabosav Shal Rashi were only in the case of dirty straps and nets and strings, which become mechudah, which makes a lot of sense, just in science, and not on something that's roughly mamish. So halacha l'maisa, we are makel on roughly things.
Is gold not smooth? Like any metal?
First of all, I don't know what the golden hair ornaments look like. It could be that the gold itself was not a smooth layer of gold. It was just gold beads or something. And also, gold is, I don't know what kind of gold they use. But pure gold is very soft, so it just gets squished. And when you gold plate the hair, I think it ends up being less smooth than a plain hair or a plain bar of gold. So l'maisa, let's assume it works out. Certainly if you have gold beads on something that's pashut, right? Then the beads press in and block the water. Okay, so much for Sif Dalit. Eliezer, you will help me by taking a picture of the board. Sif Hey. Maybe we should edit it for Why You Torah. I'll get in trouble for being disrespectful to feminists, but I wasn't trying to be disrespectful. I was just saying, like, I really don't understand logically how you cannot fight for pockets. Doesn't make any sense. All right. And maybe someone will listen to Why You Torah and give me a good Hesber.
What would be motivated to make a difference?
What?
What would be motivated to make a difference?
Yeah, or exactly. Okay, this could create a revolution. Okay, someday when your daughters grow up and have pockets, you will attribute it to this shear. Hey, shtei saros or yoshu shurin ke echad kasher echad inim chotzin. The biggest chatzitza issue, meaning the biggest pain, I mean, not only in Hilchos Mikvah, I don't know if anyone here, you know, has like a girl with long hair, maybe not yet, but is just getting the knots out of your hair. It's really a pain to keep your hair free of knots if you grow long hair. So the Gemara talks about one of the big issues in the Gemara, in Chatzitzas, is your hair getting knotted, right? This is a common thing. What if you discover a knot in your hair, like after going to the mikvah? By the way, one of the biggest parts of what we call chafifa, preparing for mikvah, is combing your hair, right? The biggest part of chafifa, I don't necessarily mean nowadays what you spend the most minutes on. I have no idea nowadays what you spend the most minutes on. But in the time of the Gemara, the hardest work and the most ikar part of chafifa, and the part that goes all the way back to biblical times, that's not a later takana, is washing and combing your hair. That was the really hard part of chafifa. So what if you discover a knot in your hair? So here, if you think about it, it's obvious to us, if you would take one hair and tie a knot, it would be much tighter than if you took a whole strand of hairs and tied a knot, right? You take hair, you take like 10 hairs, and you tie them in a knot and pull as hard as you can, before you sneeze, it will just come apart on its own because it was so loose. But if you take one hair and tie a knot as hard as you can, that will never come out for all of eternity. Meaning, eventually, you'll just grow your hair and chop it off. But it will never come out for all of eternity because it's much tighter. So there's a machlokes in the Gemara between Rabba Bar Bar Chana and Rabbi Yochanan. And we're not 100% sure what they said about what about two hairs. So the Gemara says something very, very posh. I mean, not very posh. The Gemara says that it is very posh. What does the Gemara say is very posh? One hair, exactly. Say or echad is chotzeitz. Gimel saros is not chotzeitz. How about beis saros? Of course, the problem is that often it's one hair in real life cases, and then you have a chatzitza problem, right? If a woman has one hair that's tied in a knot, I assume most women are makpid. They don't want their hair tied in a knot. Mir umakpid, that's a chatzitza. It is a big problem.
Even in those days?
What? Even in those days.
Like, they never showered back then, so I'm sure their hair is.
But they combed their hair all the time. Yeah. Combing hair was a big thing. Even well before those days. You look in archaeological, whatever. Lots of combs all over the place. So, it was a big deal. So, what about two saros? So here, Rabbi Yochanan says, no problem. Rabbi Yochanan says, eino chotze, it's no problem. If you have two, that's not a tight knot. It's roughly, it's no problem. Rabbi Bar Bar Chana says, maybe it is chotze. He's not sure. Not sure sounds like he's machmer. Right, pashup shot. Some people say, since he's not sure, he gave in to Rabbi Yochanan. How do we paskin? It's a big machlokas rishonim. How to paskin? The Rambam and the Rosh and the Smag follow Rabbi Yochanan. The Ran and the Rashba follow Rabbi Bar Chana and Armor Machmir. How do we paskin? We paskin like the Rambam here. We paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. Two hairs that are tied in a knot with themselves. Like you take two hairs. I know we take this, but if you take two hairs and just make a single knot and then tighten it. Even though you tighten it, it's not so tight. And therefore, the water will get in and it is not chotzeitz. Continuing in the Mechaber. For now, Usara Achas Shemiksura Chotzetzes. So one here that's knotted in and of itself. You know what I mean by knotted in and of itself. You just take it and you make a knot with it.
with the one hair that's chotzeitz, it's tight. You take two hairs together and knot them to themselves, then that is not chotzeitz. And obviously, kol shekein three hairs is not chotzeitz. Who should take my pedestal of? And of course, it's only if she's makpid. The avolim ain't my pedestal of. Also, a tefillah she wrote sarah kasha nimini with the afil. That's if she's makpid. If she's not makpid, then it's no problem, unless most of her hair is knotted. Of course, not most of her hair is knotted all at once. That would be loose. Most of her is knotted one strand at a time. Then it would be a problem. So you use the rules. If it's rove and ain't makpid it's chotzeitz, if it's mi makpid it's chotzeitz, and if it's mi ain't makpid it's not chotzeitz. Okay. Before we get to the interesting assumption there, let's read the Ramah. The ain chelik benim kasher shtei saros and shtei saros which kasher shtei saros with the atzman. Meaning we have the case of you take one here and not it to itself. Or you take two hairs and knot them to themselves, right? But what if you take one hair and you tie it to one hair, or two hairs and tie it to two hairs, or one hair and tie it to two hairs, or three hairs and tie it to one hair, etc., etc., right? What if you take one and you knot them, or you take two to two and you knot them, right? So says the Ramah, there's no difference between tying two to two or tying two by themselves, meaning if you tie two to two, that's not a problem. If you tie one, the assumption is if you tie one to one, it is a problem. Interestingly, for reasons I, yeah?
Isn't like tying one to one the same thickness as tying one to itself?
I mean, that's how we paskin, but it's not pashut. I mean, it's not Pasha, but that's what you paskin, that's what we've shown him, assume. Yeah. Now, interestingly, I can't figure out why the Mechaber and the Ramah do not explicitly discuss what if you tie one hair to two hairs? Like, isn't that worthy of some discussion? What if you tie one to two? What's that did? Right? Here, two hairs, and you tie one to two. Is that like one, because it's one, or is that like two, because it's two? The Beis Yosef quotes the Yukim from the Rishonim about it. I don't know why the Mechaber and the Ramah don't bother to tell us. It's very strange. L'maisa, the Taz and Sivkat and Ches, has a long discussion, which we won't chaz his whole long discussion, but he takes it as a davar pashut, that one to two is chotzeitz, because there's one. So, what's the pshat? This is mutter. Check doesn't mean chotzeitz. Check means mutter. This is mutter. This is usser. This is not clear, but the Taz says it's no good. Because since it's one to two, it gets tight.
As long as it's not one to one, though, so why would you? I mean, the whole point is that one and one is really tight.
So one around two is also really tight.
There's two.
Yes, but there's one around the two, so the one makes it tight. I think that's logical.
I know, as long as it's not one and one, then it should be tight.
I mean,
that's what Rambam said, either one on itself or
look,
one.
Look, the Rambam sounds like one to two would be fine. However, the Taz assumes, like the Diuk from the Rashba and the Ran and the Beis Yosef, that no, the one, since there's only one going this way, even though it's two going this way, the one makes it tight. All right, I that's the extent of my engineering knowledge.
And there must have which case is that?
That's this. Two and tie it not within themselves.
Around both of them?
Yeah. You take two.
Meaning you're tying around the thickness of both of them together.
Yeah, you take two and then you just like make a knot of them for themselves.
Oh, okay. So, I missed it with the last point of the Shulchan Aruch. It's actually Rov Sarah Kashur, Nimrim Nasma.
Okay, let me get back to that. Okay, now that we've gotten through the technicalities, one important fundamental point, which is, what does the Mechaber say here? He says, well, you have to use the rules of Makbid and Eino Makbid and of Rove and Mio, right? Meaning, what's the whole point of the difference between one hair and two hairs? Two hairs is roughly, one hair is Mahudik. Even if it's Mahudik, even if it's tight, it's still only Chotzeitz if it's Rove or Makbid. So that's the Mechaber say. If it's makpid, it's chotzeitz. What if it's ain't no makpid? It's only chotzeitz if it's rove. But how do you get a case of rove? if you take most of your hairs, then it won't be tight. No, you take most of your hairs, and each one is individually tied to itself. That's rove. Interestingly, let's say you have, I have no idea, 1,000 hairs. If 501 of them are tied, even though the knot is only a small part of each hair, that's called rove.
Two around what is going to be...
If the Taz says it's usher.
No, two around what? Isn't that one?
Yeah, I'm assuming one around two and two around one are the same. Topologically, it's the same. Now, you might say topology is not kovea. Topologically, it's the same. Like, if I do this around this or that around that, if I just, like, pull them a little without changing the topology, it will actually, I can convert from one to the other. Am I correct?
Sounds right.
Sounds right. Okay. Anyway, I'm going to assume it's the same. Two around one and one around two are the same.
I was just doing dreadlocks.
We have to get to that in Sivvav. We're not Sivvav yet. Now, by the way, dreadlocks, you should know, is a big, big shayla. Dreadlocks is a big shayla. The big shayla of dreadlocks is a rove. People with dreadlocks often have rove of their hair. Now, I'm not talking about iron girls who have like one dreadlock, whatever. Sometimes you have black people who want to convert, who their whole head is dreadlocks. And you know, you can't take them out, right? It's not so common. I haven't seen very much among like people who grew up in our community who make their whole rove of their hair dreadlocks. But sometimes you have, and it's a big shayla when it comes to conversion. Because if it's an akum of the tefillah, they're not Jewish, right? That's like a big deal, right? How does someone with dreadlocks convert? Their whole hair is dreadlocks.
Isn't it rove shayna makbid?
So, yeah, rove shayna makbid is ma'akim midrabanan. So midrabanan, they're still a guy. So midrabanan, they're a guy. How does that help anyone?
Is that rove?
Ah, okay. Jacob asked the $64,000 question. What is this robe going on here? Everyone knows. Some people have a swelled head. Even if you have a swelled head, it's still a small minority of your body, right? How much is this compared to my whole body? It's very small. So I have no idea. What?
Well, it's got a lot of hair.
Okay, but still, it's less than their whole body. Still, it's less than their whole... Even if you have long hair, you know, hair down to your shoulders, it's still less than your whole body. Give me a break. So, this is a machlokes, the Rambam quotes, between himself and the Gaonim. First of all, this whole question of Miyad and Rov, the Machaber quotes a what weird shita that might be in Rashi. We're not sure what he means. Rashi sort of sounds a little like, oh, the difference between Miyad and Rov is only in your hair, but on your body, even a Miyot, Sheino Makbet, is a problem. Okay, that would be very big finish. Let's forget, but Rashi might not mean that. Let's forget that. What's explicit is the Rambam, the Gaonim. The Rambam quotes, some Gaonim said, and I say differently. So, what is the Rambam quote? How does hair tie in? So, says the Rambam himself,
says the Rambam, that rove depends on your whole... the whole person at once. What do I mean by that? Let's do a little better. Rove equals rove of hair plus body.
I'm using parentheses in the mathematical sense. Even those of us who are not such math people, remember parentheses, we always look at that first, right? So, your hair plus body, your whole being. Your whole being is how much? I don't know, it's like 100. Out of which your hair is 5 and your body is 95. And therefore, rove means 51 out of 100. So what if your whole hair was dreadlocks? Or your whole hair was full of mud? Or your whole hair was full of glue or whatever weird scenario you might imagine. Or, I don't know, you're wearing like you didn't want to ruin your hair too, right? You're wearing like a watertight cap on your whole hair. No problem, that's only a miyot. That's not a robe, that's only a miyot. Okay then, you're makbid, not makbid, it's only a miyot, right? Because your hair is a miyot of your body. And therefore, what did the Rambam say? What's the whole problem of your hair being tied? Even if all your hair is tied, it's only going to be a miyot. Now, the problem is, if 49% of your body has a chatzitza and a lot of your hair, it'll push you over to 51%. Right? Now, the problem is, like, the Gemara sounds like the hair is an issue in and of itself. Right? So, what did the Gaonim say? The Gaonim Rambam says, no! Rove equals rove of guf or rove of sear. There's two different things. There's guf and there's body and hair. Rove your body is a problem, and rove your hair is a problem. Is body chatzitza and hair chatzitza. You don't look at it together. They're two separate things. If 51% of your body is a chatzitza, that's a problem of rove. And if none of your body is a chatzitza, but 51% of your hair is a chatzitza, that's also a problem of rove. That's what the Mechaber just said. If rove sarah is kosher and even in the act, if rove your hair is tied, that's a problem. Which is why sometimes you get difficult shaylos. Because if most of your hair is a chatzitza, that's, even though your whole body is crystal clear, your whole body is 100% clean. But if rove your hair is a chatzitza, that's a problem. And this is exactly how we paskin. This is how the Mechaber and all the poskim paskin. Like these Gaonim, that hair is a separate cheshbon. Rove your hair is a separate problem. Rove your body is a separate problem. Ah, the hechi tasi. And that's the shot of the Gemara. The Gemara keeps talking about most of your hair. You know, so I would say, no, it means most of your hair plus body, your hair puts your body over the edge. You know, your body was 49%, but with a lot of your hair being tied, it turns it to 51%. That's not pashup shot. Pashup shot is just looking at your hair. Ah, why should your hair be separate? The hechi tasi. I don't understand. Since when do we assume your hair is a different person than your body? So anyone in two letters answer? Give me the answer. I'll give you a clue. The two letters are not close.
A and C.
Okay, what do you mean by that? S. S. Aleph and Tav. You can get my clue. What does S have to do with anything? Ellie's giving me a look like, you know, has the rabbi just lost his mind? Yes, the Chumash says, Rachas v'mayim es besaro. Besar means your skin. What is S, Marbe?
Hair.
Your hair. How do we know you have to total your hair? It only says basar. Hair isn't basar. I mean, the Torah only says to total your skin. It doesn't say to total your hair. But al pitar shal peh, bisaro means skin, but es means hair.
Doesn't make it its own thing.
Now you have room for a chakira. When basar was only basar, mefurish and pshuto shal mikra. And then the Torah shal peh came and darshan es the rabbi sayar. There are two ways to understand that. Either the Torah shal peh is saying it's one amalgam. S, the sorrow is one thing. You should know S means it's all one thing. Don't separate things. Or you could say, no, there's a din of basoro and a din of S. Besides totaling basoro, you need to total S. And therefore, you need to total your body and your hair. And therefore, a chatzitza on your body is a problem because you weren't mekayim basoro, and a chatzitza on your hair is a problem because you weren't mekayim S. That's machlosi in the Rambam and the Gaonim. Now, I'll admit to you, all else being equal, I would have been with the Rambam. I would have said, give me a break. I know es besara, but now it's one thing. You're one person. However, the Gemara keeps sounding like rove your hair is a problem. They bring rove by rove your hair. It really sounds like pashup shot is rove your hair. So say the Gaonim, because this is because of besara, and this is because of es. It's a different word in the pasuk. It's a different cheshvan, and therefore rove your hair is a problem, and that's how we bevadai paskin.
When you send it in the body, you see the hair that you're bringing?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, it's never going to lead to a kula.
Right. Yeah.
But correct, we take the hair out of the equation. It can only lead to a chumra. What if I had a chatzitza on 51% of my skin and none of my hair? So according to the Rambam, it would be fine. It's only 49% of the total. But according to the Gaonim, it would be a problem. It's 51% of my skin. That's unlikely. The more likely scenario is I have a chatzitza on 90% of my hair and none of my skin. The Rambam would say, fine, we pass like the Gaonim. It's a problem of foolish hair in the Mechaber. Now, the Agav is a big chumrah.
So what do you do with dreadlocks?
We'll get there. There's a big chumrah in the Chachmas Adam. Big chumrah in the Chachmas Adam. By the way, it's really, really not pasha, the dreadlock thing. We'll see later on. The real answer, I don't know what different people might say, but the real answer is that the person just has to cut off their hair. So they have to cut off their dreadlocks. So no married woman should have dreadlocks. No married woman should have dreadlocks. Now, if she has one dreadlock, then you could ask that lachachila, etc. But it's not the end of the world.
It's not rove.
Because it's not rove. But if you have dreadlocks all over, then let's say a guy wants to come. He comes to bed. He wants to convert. He wants to keep the Torah. And by the way, this happens all the time.
Guy in
Shar
Chesed, huge dreadlocks, a black guy.
Yeah, it happens all the time. Yeah, people come, they want to come close to the Torah, but they have dreadlocks. So again, I'm not promising you what everyone paskins, but as far as what I know, the Beis Din should tell them, look, sometimes you have to sacrifice for Torah. You have to give up your Orla, and you have to give up your dreadlocks. And if you're a woman, you only have to give up your dreadlocks. If you want to grow more dreadlocks later, okay, maybe if you're a man, then it's okay. If you're a woman, you still get into problems. But you have to cut off your dreadlocks because it's rover your hair. And the dreadlocks, even though they're made of more than one hair, the way they make the dreadlocks, they make them with paste. So they stick. It's not the case here. Dreadlocks, what do you mean? Each dreadlock has multiple strands of hair. Each dreadlock has like 10 on 10 on 10 on 10 and woven. What's the problem? Probably they put paste on it to make it stick. So then it's a problem.
So dreadlocks of just not showering is not a problem?
What? Dreadlocks of just not showering might not be a problem. But the real dreadlocks, the real serious dreadlocks, are all made with paste or something. Okay, but yes, I don't know. There's different kinds of dreadlocks. I'm not a bookie in dreadlocks. Anyway, this is a big, big issue. Okay, biker. Sif Vav. Oh, by the way, I'll tell you a chumra the chachmas adam. The chachmas adam is a big chumra, which I'm not convinced of. Misvara. But I'm not sure I'm willing to take him on. He has a big chumra. He says every part of your body with hair counts separately. And therefore, rove your armpit hair is a problem. Because it's its own hair. I think it's a big chiddush. When S is all hair put together. But the chachmas adam is a big chumra. It doesn't usually come up, because usually there's not big issues except for hair on your head. But he has a big chumra. He says, like, if the hair on your head is clean, but rover your hair in your armpit has a chatzitza, or rover the pubic hair has a chatzitza, then the chachma's utterly mafra in that also. Take it one step further. And that's a big chumra. Lemaisa doesn't usually come up, so we don't have to worry about whether we can be makel against him or not. Because, like, whatever, like, you know, if we're over the hair in your armpit has a chatzitza, just like cut it off. And it never happens anyway. So it usually doesn't come up, but that's important to know. The Chachmas Adam takes it a little further. I'm not sure why, because then it doesn't really fit in the pasuk so well. But, you know, Lemaisa, we should be worried about this Chachmas Adam. Okay, now, Zvav, Seir Shekineged Halev. So now he's talking about makbid versus eno makbid. The truth is that, I don't know, you have to look at your contemporary reality. You know, this is from 2,000 years ago. But he says this, the hair, the chest on your hair, obviously talking about men. Why is he talking about men in Hilchas Nida? Because sometimes men also need to toho, right? Especially, Hasidish men toho all the time, but aren't usually so makbid on chatzitzas. But nowadays, some of the men who go up to Harabayis have to be makbid on chatzitzas. But even classically, if a man wants to convert, he has to toho. And that is really, really, really important that it be kosher, because it makes a big difference, right? So therefore, chest on your hair on your chest and in your beard that's stuck because of sweat, not so hygienic, then, no, it's chotzeitz, because people are makbid on that. However, here on your head and in your armpit, if it's stuck together by sweat, you're not chotzeitz.
How stuck is this?
What?
Is this so stuck from sweat?
Matted down in the way that it's stuck. Remember, they had poor hygiene then. Then it is not chotzeitz. Like, I'm not convinced this will still be true. I'm not convinced this will still be true nowadays. Okay. Vishabah also makma, how about pubic hair? A man, if it's stuck together, he doesn't mind, so it's not a chatzitza. A single woman doesn't mind. Everyone asks, why is a single woman going to mikvah? She says, what if she's converted? Right? But a married woman does mind. Okay, again, you know, if someone asks me the shaila nowadays, first of all, everyone just cleans their hair nowadays, then I would look at contemporary reality. Here's the important Rambam. Please do not ask me how this works scientifically. We'll just analyze the halachos. The oso sheisan can mean klia saros, divugas dovazo. Those people have dreadlocks. The nasis belila on the shade. They are made at night by demons, meaning they go to sleep at night, they wake up in the morning, and they have these dreadlock kind of things. Not exactly the same as the way we make dreadlocks nowadays. And sakana lahasiran, meaning you can't take them out because then the shaitan will kill you. So now we have a what?
Knife under your pillow.
No, knife under your pillow is not good enough for this. This is the shaitan already messing with you, right? They're already in your hair. Meaning, I would be very scared. All I have to say is, even if I didn't believe in shaitan, if I went to sleep and woke up with these, I would start believing in shaitan and be very scared of the sakana. Says the Mordechai, apparently this is a common thing, lo chaitzi, it's not chotzeitz. You can imagine, this is a big issue. Meaning, apparently this happened with some regularity. I don't have the most people. Happened in every town every couple years. And what's this poor woman supposed to do? She can't take out the braids in her hair or cut them off or anything like that, because then she'll die. But what does it mean? She has to get divorced and be an aguna forever? How does she go to the mikvah? And the so fine. So Gilgamesh Rasha says, well, it's enomatid. She doesn't mind them. Right? What do you mean? She doesn't mind them. She wants them to be there forever, so Shaitan don't kill her. Yeah. But they all point out the Mordechai's case it was Rov. If we miyot, Nishka Ferlach, it's a miyot, the enomatid. She doesn't mind them being there. What do you mean she doesn't mind? Under the circumstances, she doesn't mind them being there. Right? And she doesn't mind them being there now. She doesn't mind them being there later either, because she has to keep them in for a long time. I have no idea how long you have to keep them in. But let's assume a long time. Right? If it wasn't a long time, wouldn't be. If you only had to keep them in for a few weeks, the Mordechai would say, okay, wait a few weeks. No, it's not. You have to keep them in for years. So it's me if Eino Makbid. But all the Achron point out, his case was Rov. A Rov is Ma'akim the Tefillah. So now she has to get divorced and be in the good of the rest of her life. Mordechai said, no, it's not Chotzeitz. Why is it not Chotzeitz? He's tried to find every reason he can think of that's not chotzeitz. Right? He came up with three explanations why it's not chotzeitz, even though some of these three explanations might or might not even shim with each other. What were the three reasons of the Mordechai by his the demon dreadlocks? Right? Because they're not necessarily the same as modern dreadlocks. In many ways, they're different from modern dreadlocks, as a matter of fact. Pisley Chu will discuss some of those ways. The Mordechai came up with three reasons why it's not chotzeitz.
How many know it's rov?
What?
How many know that it's rov?
Because he doesn't, all the Achronim say, because he doesn't just say it's miyafe eno makbid. All the Achronim, obviously it's rov, otherwise he would have just had a much easier time dealing with it. He comes up with three reasons. One reason is Gimel Saros. By the way, I should point out, the Ron said earlier in Sif Beis, in Sif Dalet, Chutei Seir and Chotzim, if you have one hair, if you have strings of hair in your hair, head, it's not Chotzim, why not? It says the strings were always made of two or three or four. That's why they weren't tight. Okay, says the Mordechai, these braids are not made of one braided with one. Nah, I don't see braids. You have 10, braided with 10, with 10, etc. You know, you have a few hairs in each one, so Gimel Saros is not Chotzeitz. Okay. Even, what's the Chiddush? It looked very, very tight, because the demons have special powers. But nonetheless, he says it's not tight. Two is a little bit cutting in the opposite direction. It's not necessarily a stira. Even if it was a stira, it'd be okay. You'd say maybe this, maybe that. But he says, maybe it's like a din of balua. What do we mean by balua? There's three different parts to your body. There are the uncovered parts of your body, the mukum gully in your body. That has to get wet in the mikvah. Then there's something called base hastarin, the hidden parts of your body. The hidden parts of your body means the parts of your body that are sometimes revealed and sometimes hidden, but are sometimes covered. So, for example, the inside of my mouth. If you want, you can look all the way into the beginning of my throat, right? But it's sometimes closed. My eyes, right now they're closed. My nose and my ear, part of my nose and ear is gullwy. Right? Whenever you see me, you look at it. It's always open. But like inside my nose and inside my ear, yeah, you could maybe get in, but it's not normally seen. That's beis hastarim. That's beis hastarim. Beis hastarim is a funny thing we'll see. It doesn't need to get wet in the mikvah. You don't need to open your eyes and you don't need to open your mouth. But it needs to be free of chatzitza. Then there's something called balua. Balua means swallow up in my body. All the way inside my body. Example. What if she just ate a big meal and her stomach's full? Ah, the inside of her stomach has all the food being chotzeitz. No, what if, I mean, all these other cases, these weird cases. Not so weird. The truth is, weird case of the arrows. We have that nowadays. Someone gets shot, the doctors say, no, we couldn't take out the bullet. It's too sensitive. Just leave it there. You'll be fine the rest of your life. Right? It happens all the time. In the Shulchan Aruch here, it's arrows. Right? So it's inside. That's not a chatzitza. And sometimes you stick, if you stick something deep in your throat, that's not a chatzitza. If I have something stuck all the way in my throat, that's not a chatzitza. It's swallowed up inside. Says the Mordechai, big fittish. He says, you know what? The inside of these braids is so tightly swallowed up by your body, seems to be cutting the opposite direction of saying it's very loose, that it's a mokum balua. And mokum balua, there's no problem with chatzitza. It's a big fittish. That the inside of the braid is balua.
What about the outside? It's just so tight.
The outside gets wet, so it's no problem. The outside of the braid gets wet, and the inside of the braid is a mokum balua. That's a big fish.
Why isn't it for every hair?
What?
Why isn't it for every one-on-one hair?
So
the inside of the knot is balua.
So he has this. So here, okay, this is going to be where. Look, he's looking for kula, obviously. You have to say that, no, this, since it's made by the demons, is like tighter than one knot. Either it's looser than one knot, it's three hairs, or it's tighter than one knot, and it's actually balua. Okay, the third shita is what's called revise. This is a big issue in modern day halacha. Revise means the way you grow, the way you live. The Gemara asks the following question. How could a pregnant woman tovel to convert? How does her fetus convert? The fetus has a chatzitza between himself and the water, right? The fetus is in utero, right? The mother is chotze between the fetus and the water. So how does the fetus convert? Good question, no? And then we're assumed the fetus does convert. I mean, halacha l'maaseh, if a pregnant woman tovels, her baby is also converted. Now, of course, something nothing to do with us, you could just say, what halacha klal could you use? Uber Yerf. Emo, that's the whole discussion of Gemara. Halacha l'maaseh, it's complicated. We're not getting. I'm not passing that shaila now. The Gemara says, even if the Uber is his own thing, the mother doesn't count as a chatzitza because hainu revise. That's how he lives. Meaning, he needs his mother to live. If you take the fetus outside of the uterus, he'll die. Right? And therefore, since that's the way, that's necessary for life, it's not a chatzitza. Whatever is necessary for life is not a chatzitza. Therefore, says the Mordechai, these brains are necessary for life. Now, what's the chiddush? They don't contribute to your life the way the mother contributes to the life of the fetus. But if you cut them off, you'll die. Therefore, since it's necessary for your life, it's revise and it's not chotzeitz. You can imagine this concept is a big concept in modern-day things. What if a woman has various medical things that she needs in order to live? So is that chotzeitz or not? So the Mordechai suggests, don't pass it yet. Revise is not necessary for life. Is not chotzeitz.
Only life or death, when you say, not like very important things that aren't life or death.
The simple shot is it's only life or death. It's simple shot. Most folks can assume this is only life or death. Could you be makel for health? Not. No, most folks can assume it's only life or death. Okay, you get it. Of course, where to draw the line of life or death? Does it mean you'll die on the spot? But only for life or death. And this is, you can imagine, a big issue in modern-day medical...
it's usually by Miyashi and Amakut anyways, no?
Oh, that's the thing. That's most of the medical things here are tricky for different reasons. Correct. This unique is a rope. Now, what about, let's go back to our... Well, before we go back to our question of dreadlocks, already you see how dreadlocks is not so pasha to be Mako, because the Mordechai is a big chiddush, and he was only Mako based on three svaras. By dreadlocks nowadays, you don't have the svar of revise. It's not life or death, right? If you own the sword for vise, that simple shot is the kula, the Mordechai does not apply. This Mordechai is stretching for a kula. And he was only mako because he found three svaros. If I don't have all three svaros, not so pasha to be mako. I'm not even sure if I have the two svaros. Because maybe you don't have the sword gimel saros, because often they do it with chemicals that make it stick more. And you might have the svara of, maybe balua, but that's the weakest svara. It's not really inside of your body. So lemaisa, but you certainly don't have ravise, which is why dreadlocks are a problem, because you don't have the svara of ravise. And I don't know what you have to ask, you should have asked the dying for the beds in America what they do when people come to convert. But I think at the very least, a lot of mainstream rabbis say, if you want to convert, you have to cut off your dreadlocks. You're a man and you want to grow new dreadlocks? Okay, you know what? In a year and a half, you'll have new dreadlocks for Seder. Are there some who try to find kulas? And maybe there are different kinds of dreadlocks. I'm not a bucket.
Maybe balua works, right?
Maybe, but that's a weak svara. I mean, it's only these three svaras together. Here in the Pesachei Tshuva, Sivkat and Hay, big thing for modern medical halacha, discusses details of revise. For example, the Panim Me'iros says, and the truth is you have to look them up inside to really see what's going on. He had one thing. First, remember I quoted to you that obviously the case of the Mordechai was a rove, otherwise he would have just had a better svara. This is in the Pesachei Tshuva Hay, the name of the Panim Me'iros. Says, obviously the Mordechai's case is the rove, otherwise he would have just said, Mi'ifeinu Makbid. I think that's clear. Anyway, he has some case of a woman who is sick, and now again, don't ask me to fit this with modern medicine. The doctor said she had to make these braids to save her life from her disease. And you have to use paste because they had no demons available. He says he's really, really not sure about this whatsoever. He said, number one, because, like, we're not sure if this will really work or not. And not all this is so mafurish, but whatever, we say that, like, you know, often they say, let's do things to save your life, it might work. What if it might work, it might not work? Is that also called revise? By the demons, it for sure worked. By the fetus who needs a uterus and a mother, it for sure works. What if something, it might actually not make a difference? The doctors are trying. Maybe that's not called revise, maybe it's suffix revise. That's like much of medicine, correct. I wouldn't say all medicine. No, a lot of things in medicine are like, we know they work. I don't even know they work, but there's some chance that there might be some funny situation. That's all of life. I mean, there are things that the doctors say, no, this accomplishes this, you know, unless there's some factor we, you know, that surprises us. That's called revise. No one knows, we're not Hashem Yisbara. But let's say it's an experimental treatment. So is that revise? And what's his other issue here is how about the fact here that you are adding an outside substance? You're putting in paste. He quotes the Chassam Sofer who says, when you put in, well, maybe the paste, it's an interesting question. Is the paste really substance? He had one case of wax. He said, you can't call revise something where you put something that's not part of your body. So here, what are some limitations on the heter of revise? What are some limitations on the heter of revise? So says the Panim Me'iros, suffig refuah. Maybe a suffig refuah would not have a heter of revise because it may or may not help you live. Says the Chassam Sofer, and here's the big question of this paste count is this. Says the Chassam Sofer, how about a foreign object? This, of course, comes up in a lot of modern day shaylos. Let's say you need to have something on your body to keep you alive, but it's not your hair being braided to itself or the mother of the baby. It is a foreign object. Maybe a foreign object, you would not have a heter of revise. And says the Sidrei Tara, also, all of this in the Pesachei Tshuva here, said the Sidrei Tara, maybe he's more machmir. Anything that didn't occur naturally. Maybe Ravisa is only naturally. The baby grows in the uterus naturally. The demons make this naturally. What do I mean by naturally? A man didn't do it. Anything a man does might, even if it's not a foreign object, even if it's braids, might not be Ravisa. So here, when it comes to Ravisa, this is very, very not posh to use the heter Ravisa. Basically, any contemporary application of Ravisa, midei safek lo yatsanu. Meaning, in all real psak and chatzitzas nowadays, you always try to like, well, maybe it's this, maybe it's that, maybe it's that. We have enough tzadim lahakel because none of the tzadim are clear. Ravisa sounds like a good one. Whenever you need something for your life, it's not a chatzitza. Not so pashut. A, maybe that's only when it's your body on itself, not a foreign object. Maybe even your body on itself is only if it happens naturally, not if you do it. And maybe that's only if it's vada, not if it's safek. Halacha l'maisa, let's say I need a device on me. Right? Because otherwise I'm going to die without this device on me. Not so partial that it had to revise. If it's an experimental treatment, maybe it's not revise. And even if it's not experimental, everyone knows you put this device and it saves your life. But it's a foreign object and it's man-made. Right, the Sidra Tower, what do we mean it's not from where the Sam Sofer? The Sam Sofer would say if a person makes braids, it's okay. As long as you don't put a foreign object. Sidra Tower would say even if a person braids you, that's not okay. Because a person did it. So if I have a device on me to save my life, that's not such a heter revise. Because according to some sofer and Sidra Tara, it wouldn't work. Okay, if the device is only on a miyuf, maybe you'd have a heter miyuf ein olachvid. But it's not so pasha to use this heter of revise in halacha le'maisa. That's all I am trying to say. Okay.
So this is like, let's say, you know those insulin patches with diabetes?
Wow. So the insulin diabetes things...
Usually you can't take them off.
Yeah, so the insulin diabetes things... I don't think you could say Ravise. First of all, if you could take it off, it's not Ravise. And even if you can take it off, it's not Pasha to say Ravise. Anything you can take off is not called Ravise. That's clear. It's only called Ravise because you can't take it off. Right?
Physically or?
No, health-wise. If the doctor lets you take it off, it's not Ravise. It's only Ravise if the doctor says it's dangerous to take off.
So let's say you need to have...
Let's say the doctor says it's dangerous to take off whatever it is. I'm not a bucky in these things. Let's say the doctor says you can't take it off. It's still not so pasha to have a heter of revise because it's man-made, it's artificial. However, lemaisa of the poskim say, if it's only a miyot, they're willing to be somech on revise, even if it's man-made. Halacha lemaisa of the poskim are willing to be somech on revise for a miyot and not worry about these things. But if it would be a rove, which doesn't come up, then... So lemaisa, to just use the heter of revise for a rove, basically the achronim destroy the heter because they put too many spekos. However, if it's a miyot, then already, the worst comes worse, only drop on it anyway, and it's no makvin anyway, and then there's so many tzadim that we can be makel. So halacha l'maisa, we basically never use revise for a rove like the Mordechai did.
What about a cast?
What about a cast? Cast is... A cast is the worst thing chatzitza-wise for a very simple reason, which has nothing to do with the Torah. Let's say you were a rabbi... who was the most makel in all the chatzitza shailas and was willing to find a kula that everything's not a chatzitza. Okay. I know such a rabbi. He's my rebbe. But you still can't matter tovling with a cast. Why not? Because the rabbi can tell you, okay, I found a kula. You can tovel with a cast. It's not chotzitz. What's the problem? You're not allowed to get it wet. If you tovel with a cast, it ruins the cast. Okay. So no one will give you a heter to tovel with a bag on the cast. When I say no one, I mean what I usually mean by no one. I know of one person in the whole world who's a very, very, very radical person who came up with a heter like this, and I read it, and it didn't actually make logical sense to me. But no one, that counts as no one.
What if it was a waterproof cast?
Ah, so hold on a second. So Mimar Shalt, there's two kinds of casts. The regular casts, plaster casts, there's no way to be matter putting a bag on the cast. And if you tovel without a bag, it'll break, so you're just stuck. What do you do with the cast? You go to the doctor and you say, doctor, how the cast has to be on for 6 weeks. After how many weeks can I take it off for an hour? Doctor says 6 weeks. After 4 weeks, you can take it off for an hour and then put it back for another two. So you have to wait 4 weeks without going to the mikvah. Get a friend who's a doctor to, you know, open the office at night, take off the cast, go tovel, put the cast back on an hour later and wear it for another 2 weeks.
Most people say that.
No, you can't do an Issa Darabanan. Even for Shalom Bais, you can't do an Issa Darabanan. However, there are waterproof casts.
It's an Isra, it's a Gezira.
The tefillah's puzzle. It's ma'akev the tefillah. Midor Rabbanan, you haven't totaled. You're a nida de Rabbanan. So you're a nida de Rabbanan. It's asr makom tzar. The waterproof casts are the best because not only are you allowed to get them wet, but waterproof casts are generally roughly. The way they make the waterproof casts, they're roughly. So it's for sure not a shayla. That's shmizi that it's mutter. Lemaisa, a frum woman should get a waterproof cast. The only problem is that, if I understand correctly, I'm not a doctor, waterproof casts are only used for certain kinds of breaks. Some kinds of breaks, you have to use the regular cast. So it's not like a frum woman could just always demand a waterproof cast and then never have a problem with mikvah. Meaning the doctor will say, yeah, if it was a break over there, I'd give you a waterproof cast. Or a break over here, you can't put a waterproof cast doesn't work. So unless the technology has changed. So it's a problem.
The problem with the bag isn't makrit.
The problem with the bag is that you're makrit. You don't want a bag on your cast. No one wants a bag on their cast.
Can you decide to, I'm going to leave this out for the next 4 weeks?
No, because it's meaning practically you can't.
Yeah, rove.
But she wants the bag of the cast.
No, but as soon as she gets out of the mikvah, she needs to get rid of the bag. As a matter of fact, you can't leave the bag on the cast. The cast will rot, etc. Meaning it's not shaya. There's just a little reality check. Meaning to be matter, if you look in most of the standard svarim, women with 100 different medical things, etc., have to just wait months to go to the mikvah. It's already stretching the kula the most to get to what I just quoted to you from my Rebbe. You know, he's like, if, you know, this is the spectrum, he's like over there. And there's still no room for a mikvah for a cast. Just like a little orientation. He's over there, and the person whose name I won't mention is over there. But whatever, it's, you know, there's Das Yachid is still a Das Yachid. If that guy's Orthodox, and whatever, he's a Talmud of Rav Ovadia who decided to be Rav Ovadia on top of, like, to take everything Rav Ovadia says as the starting point, and then, but comparing Rav Ovadia to the Minchas Yitzchak, he would do that to Rav Ovadia. And he would continue his Rebbe's Derech by going further than his Rebbe did. And Lemaisa, it's not, you know, he's Orthodox, no question about that. But it's not mainstream.
In terms of the theory of the woman decide that she's going to do something in order and like change whether she's not or not, so that she like.
There are some who are makel that way. There's some who are makel that way, but seraph other svaras. I'm not sure. Not meaning, let's say she's stam decided she wants to put something on her for a month, for a year, just to make it meet the Eino Machbet.
Right.
She would keep it on for a year. I don't think the post are make it unless they have other stars from Mitzaref as well. But just stam. She decides, I don't know, she wants to put a sticker of a dinosaur on her nose for a year. I don't think we'd be able to.
The cast is roughly, but not. But she has to make sure there's water gets to every place, or she.
Yeah. So she'd have to sit in the mikvah until water got to every place. And then she'd have to hope it dries before she gets a fungus or something.
I mean, I guess the only time it comes up is when it's last cast. Any other cast you can really take off.
I'm not a bucky. Okay. Anyway, to be continued, or Mitzvah Shem next week.
Okay.
Remembers that I saw a bullet being left alone having my wife's uncle in South Africa.